Well, hallelujah. Great turnout back on a Sunday night. I have a friend in Northwest Arkansas up in the Fayetteville area, and he asked me one time, many years, 15 years ago, he said, Brother Joe, what are you believing for the offering? I never thought about that before. And by the way, thanks for helping us keep the tires rolling. I said, you know, I don't really have a number in mind. Brother Longman, I'm praying for a $100,000 altar. He said, what are you talking about, a $100,000 altar? I said, well, I want to see a tally comes close to 100,000 in your church if God heals people and they don't need their very expensive prescription medication anymore. They don't need that $2,000 treatment. They don't need that $12,000 surgery and so on and so forth. In fact, in this county, wouldn't it be something if this right here was the most precious real estate in the entire county? This would be awesome. Two Thursdays ago on an MVP call, not the one that Pastor Joe spoke at, but it was 2 weeks ago, I get a call in the middle of the MVP call, and I left my computer and took it. It was an 88-year-old pastor. His daughter, she's a dear friend of ours. She's the godmother of our kids. She said, Joe, are you in town? I said, I am in town. Well, Daddy has called the whole family together. He said he's going home today. This guy is named Little David Walker. He's a little guy. They called him Little David because he was a little boy preacher. I got pictures of him in the 40s and 50s or whatever year it was, filling stadiums in London, England as a 10-year-old boy. Stadiums full of people, 10 and 12 years old, amazing. He's had a tremendous ministry. In the Assemblies of God during COVID, I was on a Zoom with Doug Clay and a bunch of people from America, and they gave awards for evangelists. The number two award was a guy named Dave Reaver, who had his face blown off in Vietnam, famous AG evangelist. Number one was Little David Walker. She said, can you come see him? And I went to see him. This guy's 88 years old, and he's booked the Kannapolis Cannonballers Minor League Baseball Stadium for the end of the month to have an outreach, invited Miss North Carolina, and I'm supposed to tell jokes and MC. His daughter said, he wants you to preach his funeral, Joe, and he wants you to tell jokes. I got over there, and I said, Brother Walker, you can go home if you want to. He couldn't breathe. Had a hard time. They can't figure out why he can't breathe. His oxygen's 100%, can't breathe. You can go home if you want to, but that'd be pretty rude. You'd have to put this whole project on your wife, and all of us have to do your work. You need to stay clocked in. By the time I left, he was sitting on the edge of the bed eating a sandwich. He said, I'm going to stay just for that. I'm staying around just for that Cannonballer Stadium. But as I drove over there from the MVP call, all I could think was, this day's coming for all of us. These young kids, they don't really see it. But us old people, we were their age yesterday. And this day is coming for all of us when the night comes and no man can work. So that's why we have to do everything we can to fill the train going to heaven with as many people as we can. Amen? I have probably preached in 245 churches in 17 years. There's only one church of the 240, of all kinds of churches, urban churches, country churches, rural churches, mega churches, all kinds of churches. There's only one church that I think about 5 days a week in my life. 5 days a week I think about Viola Solid Rock Church, because Pastor gave me some socks and I wear them every single day. I don't care what color outfit I'm wearing. It don't matter. 5 days a week, I'm wearing these socks, and every time I put them on, I think about this church. Anyway, there's nothing spiritual about that. I just want to share that. Well, we're going to talk about our friend, the Holy Spirit. We're going to try to take the spooky out of the Holy Ghost. So I'd like you to turn to a famous passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I want to thank the booth back there, the media folks. You have been on it. I mean, really on it, and I really appreciate your assistance and help, and thank you, Pastor Joe, for this invitation. So when I finish preaching in 30 or 40 minutes, I'm going to invite everybody that needs help to come to this altar, that needs the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm the first one down here. I got the microphone. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. But here's the deal. when you come to this altar, by moving your feet, you are voting with your feet to say, Lord, not only do I need your help, I am willing for you to come upon me and to fill me with your Spirit. That's what you're saying when you come. You're coming to get help and you're willing to be filled, okay? Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this great, great church, this beautiful community, this loving community, these warm, friendly people. Oh, Lord, it is really good to be in your house. Thank you for the worship leaders, the anointed worship leaders who have been on this stage. Thank you for this pastor. God, in our lives, most of us will need a doctor. We'll need a lawyer. Some of us will need a pharmacist. But every one of us need a pastor. And I thank you that this church has a good one and a great couple to lead them and love on them. And so we're praying now that you will not only help us, but you will fill us. I pray for very strong clarity in communication, that I'll communicate your heart. And as I'm talking, that you'll talk to people in a way that I actually am not, I'm not saying it, but you're saying things to them that are very personal, very, very personal things that you're saying to them. And that, God, you'll help us in a few moments when we come back to this altar. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, amen. I probably told you this story, and I'll probably repeat a bunch of them, but that's what happens when you invite me back. Columbus, Mississippi, I verified this memory with the pastor, Jody Gurley. I met a man, he was a warlock. You don't meet many warlocks in the Deep South. He was a card-carrying Wiccan witch. And he came to that church, and Pastor Jody met him in the visitor's little thing when I give a cup away or whatever. So I'm glad you're here. And the guy said to him, well, thanks, but I just think it's only fair to tell you that I only came because my neighbor invited me, and I am a warlock. Jody threw his arm around him, hugged his neck, said, I'm glad you're here. Well, that guy got saved, got born again. He burnt his credentials for the Wiccan church in the fire in front of everybody. He got baptized. His family got saved. And I preached that Sunday morning. I met him. He'd been saved and baptized when I met him. Sunday night, I talked about our friend, the Holy Spirit. He comes running up after the service. He said, Pastor Jody, I tried to get your attention before the service, but you were talking. I couldn't get your attention. You know my story, Jody. He said, yeah, I know your story. He said, I was driving to church tonight. My 16-year-old was with me, and I started saying words that I'd never said before. My son said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. Words are coming out of my mouth. He said, everything that man talked about tonight happened to me on the way to church, and I'd never heard any of it before. It's real and relevant. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 in the Modern English Version says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them tongues as of fire being distributed and resting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now dwelling in Jerusalem were Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, crowd came together and were confounded, because each man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to each other, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own native language? Parthian, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own language the mighty works of God. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? And my favorite version, the King James Version, says, what meaneth this? That's the title of our teaching tonight. Others mock and said, these men are full of new wine. These men are drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. Not many people get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, but some people say it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and they just go ahead for it. But these men are not drunk, as you suppose. But this is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. In the last days it'll be, says the Lord, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my men servant. and my maidservants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. My assignment tonight is to continue to talk about our friend, the Holy Spirit. This is controversial. It was controversial in the very beginning. On the day it happened thousands of years ago, it was controversial. And I like to study questions from time to time. And here's a great one. What meaneth this? What is this? This cosmopolitan city of Jerusalem had men from every nation under heaven. Can you imagine that? After the day after we summited and came back down into Seattle, before I caught my flight, I went down to the marketplace there in Seattle where the first Starbucks is, and that they throw fish and all that. And it was like the day of Pentecost. From every nation under the sun, people were speaking every language that I'd ever heard, seemed like. Jesus Christ had been crucified, resurrected. He ascended into heaven. My college professor, when I played basketball at Columbus State University, he had to admit, although I'm a deist, which means I'm not a Christian, he said, I recognize historically that 500 men said they saw Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. And the disciples were waiting. Do y'all like to wait? I never met a person. Hey, Joe, what's your hobby? I play a little disc golf, like to go hiking. What's your hobby? Oh, I like to go places and sit in waiting rooms. Ooh, that's my favorite. Nobody likes to wait. There are moments that mark your life, and this moment marked my life before COVID. There was a little minister's gathering, 12 AG guys. A Pentecostal preacher from another denomination walked in. I don't even know who invited him. He has like 5,000 people in his church. When he walked in, it was like a general walked in. He's 70 years old. This is the kind of juice this guy has. He'd stand up on a Sunday and said, the Lord just told me to have a sacred assembly tomorrow night, so we're going to have a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. Open your Bibles, let me preach. And the next night, 2,000 people would be at a prayer meeting. That's the kind of juice this guy has. He said, boys, I got to confess something to you. And I'm like, oh, no. He said, I've learned something at my age. I can't do anything for God unless I wait on him for 2 hours a day. He said, now, by waiting on him, I'm not talking about having my devotions, reading my Bible, sermon prep. I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about just sitting in a chair waiting on him when every thought in my head jumps like monkeys from one branch to another, and everything in my flesh screams, get up and do something. 2 hours. The next day, I started that practice. I haven't hit 2 hours. I've gotten close to an hour before. I think this morning it was like 17 minutes where I just wait. Nobody likes to just wait. Nobody likes to just wait. The Bible, he quoted Isaiah, the Lord, thus saith the Lord, I am waiting on you to wait on me. So he tells the disciples, you go wait. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited until they experienced the wind. The Spirit symbolically in the Bible has been compared to fire, water, seal, oil, dove, and wind. Well, I wish these young people see something that I've seen in my life. I hope before I die, and certainly before they die, that they see what I saw in a revival in the United States of America, where people stood in line in Florida in the hot sun from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. I've been in that line all day long, not for a rock concert or for a new iPhone release, for a regular revival church service. It made national news around the world. It lasted for months and months and months. People were knocking old ladies down to get a seat in church. I do not recommend this. But the pastor from my high school in Georgia, Pastor Kilpatrick, said that the day that the revival happened, it was on Father's Day, and a wind blew into that place and blew him over. That's what happened to these disciples. There was a wind, and the disciples saw what looked like tongues resting upon each of them. The marketplace, the out there people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, they didn't feel the wind, they didn't see the tongues, but they heard the sound. Everyone was speaking in a language that they had never learned, they did not know. But the people from around the known globe heard them praising God in their own language. I'm gonna give you a lot of information like a fire hose. Some of it will be on the screen, some of it won't. What meaneth this? How many of you old people like me remember in the olden times when we had books with pages? It wasn't just computers and tablets. We had bookstores. There were stores that sold books. Can you believe it? And we'd go in there, and there was a whole section. It was my favorite section. It was made just for me. It was the dummies section. Remember the books for dummies? Sewing for dummies, Shakespeare for dummies, carpentry for dummies, quilting for dummies, yoga for dummies, divorce, beer for dummies, that checks out, politics for dummies, Excel for dummies. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm going to take myself back to when I was 18 years old. I'd just been born again. And I heard people speaking in tongues. In fact, I was a Chi Alpha student representative. Chi Alpha is a college ministry for the Assemblies of God. Because I was playing basketball at Columbus State University on a basketball scholarship, they asked me to be the representative. So I remember going to a committee meeting and to get chartered to have a club on campus. And the vice president says, Mr. Phillips, I'm 18 years old. Thank you for coming. This says that you are a Pentecostal ministry. How does that differ from, say, the Baptist Student Union? I didn't know what Pentecostal meant. I said, ma'am, I'm glad you asked that question. My youth pastor was with me. I said, what does Pentecostal mean? I don't know. Literally. I got no. He gave me an answer that satisfied the lady. I didn't know what it meant. So I went to my girlfriend's dad's dining room table. She became my wife, Cecilia. I went to the dining room table. I said, you got to break it down. Give me the Holy Ghost for dummies. Show me. I don't understand what this means. So some of us theologically, this is a goofy illustration, theologically, maybe you were raised in a different denomination or a different belief system. Maybe you were raised in a place where they told you that this is not for today. That's legitimate. That's legitimate theology. People say that. That's an actual theology that exists, that the gifts are over. And they often quote a scripture that says, are there tongues, they shall cease, right? But in that same scripture, it says, is there knowledge, it shall cease. And that has not yet happened, has it? So theologically, and I'm not going to bash anybody, bust anybody, but it's like putting on a shirt. And by the time you get to a certain place, a certain age, a certain station in life, you've got a shirt on, but it's all skewed. It's all jacked up. You got theology, but you learned early on something that it's not exactly right. Now, let me just say two things about that. If you were raised in a church similar to that and somebody told you that it's over, it's over. It's like those cinnamon rolls today. I went out to get one. They're gone. They're over. Maybe you're raised in a theology like that. I'll say a couple things. Number one, if you were taught that the gifts are over and even that if someone participates like that, they're of the devil. Let me say this. I'm getting milder in my old age. You know the person who taught you that probably did it with the motive that was protective, shepherding. If you really think that somebody that you're pastoring is doing something or thinking something that's evil, you'd want to protect them, albeit it's the wrong motive in my mind, but they probably had pure motives to teach you that. Second thing I want to say is when I was 25, I knew everything. I would argue with a guy. I got a Baptist buddy. I love him so much. He came in and married one of my little Pentecostal girls. He was at Fort Benning. He became a Baptist preacher. He's in Florida. We'd argue over stuff, over Reformed theology and over Pentecostal doctrine. Just go, and then we go play basketball. But I knew everything back then. And then I'm 60. I'm like, nah. He called me the other day during COVID. He said, Joe, please pray for me. I said, what's the matter with you, buddy? He said, I think I'm getting close to being baptized in the Holy Ghost. The guy who said it wasn't real. I said, well, buddy, I got a 9 p.m. prayer meeting in my closet that I've scheduled. And when I go in there, I'll pray for you. I wasn't going to leave the voice for, you know, I was going to wait till a commercial at least. He called me back before I get to the prayer meeting. He's speaking in tongues. He called me every day. He told me one day, he said, I got to tell my church. I said, pump the brakes. Just pump the brakes for a minute. Let's work through this for a minute. You got filled with the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to teach is the product of lifelong learning and field research. When I was first in the ministry, they told me if you were going to communicate something, you need to do it in a certain way, and I'm going to try to do it in that way. You got to tell them who, what, when, why, how, and where, and how much. So I'm going to just try to answer the question, what does this mean with those who, what, why, when, where? Now, a couple of them are going to be long. Don't be nervous because a couple of them are less than 30 seconds. All right, number one, who, what meaneth this? Who are we talking about? We are talking about the Holy Spirit. The names of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which always terrified me because I watched the Amityville Horror when I was 10 years old. Spirit of promise, Spirit of truth, Spirit of grace, Spirit of life, Spirit of adoption, the third person of the Trinity. Here is who he is not. He is not an inanimate force like Luke, the force be with you from Star Wars. He is not a high. I had an uncle that had a girlfriend, and we were talking about it. I've been saved 11 minutes. She said, what church do you go to? I said, the Assembly of God. She said, is this a Pentecostal church? I said, I think it is. I don't know what that means exactly. I think it is. She said, I love being filled with the Holy Spirit because it makes me want to sleep with men. I said, how? That ain't the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that, lady. I couldn't get away from that girl fast enough. Weirdo. Who he's not. He's not a force. He's not a high. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit in world history. He created it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. During creation, the Spirit of God hovered over the water. He's from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. He created this thing called the world. Let's talk about him in the Old Testament. This is not a book of Acts entity. This is from Genesis to Revelation. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, in the Pentateuch, you'll find the Holy Spirit. He anointed the craftsmen to do what they do. You find him in the history books, in 1 Kings. Give me a double portion of your Holy Spirit. You find him in the poetry books, like in Job. He says, the Spirit of God created me. In Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me. You find him in the major prophets. Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. You find him in the minor prophets in Joel. In the last days, men and women will prophesy because I'm going to pour out my Spirit. Let's talk about him in the New Testament. Between the Old and New Testament, there were 400 years of silence. Imagine that. What are we as a nation? 260 whatever years? 400 years where there was not a word from God. The worst time in the history of the world to be alive. It's like that weird Sunday between Christmas and New Year's that Pastor Joe really didn't know what to do with exactly. That's a horrible. But then in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, conceived by and of the Holy Spirit. You find him throughout the gospel in the book of John. The one on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John 14, the Spirit of truth, he is called. John 16, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit from the Father. He'll teach you everything. He's all through the book of John. John chapter 20, Jesus, the resurrected one, blows and says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit and theology. The Spirit of God is not an it. If I say it when I talk about the Holy Spirit, that's incorrect, and I may be incorrect, but I'm just correcting myself ahead of time. He is not an it. He is a him, the third person of the Trinity. He can be lied to. You can see that on the screen. He can speak. He can guide. He can be rejected, and he can be grieved. There is a word that is not in this book. But it is in this book. What are you talking about? There is a word that you cannot find in this book, but he's in this book. And that word is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're not going to find the word Trinity, but you will find the Trinity in this book. Like in the gospel, when Jesus, the Son of God, is standing in the baptismal pool, there's the Son of God. And then the Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove or as like a dove. And the voice of the Father and the voice of the Father, this is my beloved Son. You've got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in the baptismal pool. theologically in function, it goes like this. They can operate independently, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they also act together. In function, according to a theologian named Tenney, in function, the Father's got the plan. Dad knows where we're going on vacation. He's got the map in the station. He's got the plan. The Son is the perfection of the plan. The Son is the plan, and the Spirit reveals and executes the plan. Dad's got the plan, the Son is the plan, and the Spirit of God reveals and executes the plan. The Father sends the Son sends the Spirit. The Spirit represents the Son, and the Son represents the Father. It's a pretty cool thing. It's simple but profound. We cannot quite understand. It's like a match. This is a crude, not a lewd, but a crude illustration, a match. You light it in the dark. There are three elements. It's you can feel the heat, you can see the light, and then the wood in your hand. We can't explain the Trinity, but we know He is there and that He wants to help us, and we have to ask this question, not just who, what. What meaneth this? What is this? What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you what it's not. It's not, here's some misconceptions. Here's a misconception about people filled with the Holy Spirit. People who are not filled with the Spirit are not Christians. That's a misconception. That's not true, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I've heard people say when you get saved, the Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. This is how I look on it. And if I'm wrong, Pastor Joe will straighten you guys out when I leave town Thursday, all right? And if it offends you, send me an email, joegardner.com. Make it ugly, make it nasty. When I gave my heart to Jesus, walked out of that nightclub, walked into the light, and I said, Jesus, be my Lord, the Spirit of God came into me as a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came into me. And why He came into me was He was into me and still is into me to reveal Jesus to me. It explodes the awareness of Jesus inside my life. But then over and over and over, the Bible says that He came upon us. He comes in us to reveal Jesus to us, but He comes upon us that we might reveal Jesus Christ to the world. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Spirit, and if you don't know that you can have something in you and on you at the same time, you've never eaten ribs with my friend Lee McBride, because he's got them in him and he's got it on his shirt as well. He doesn't care if I say that. He's my best friend. Number two, Spirit-filled people are elite. Elite. We're better than other people. Did you get it? Oh, you didn't get it? I got it. Like being a Royal Rangers, you know, you get a badge. I tied a knot, I built a fire, I spoke in tongues. It's not about being elite. We're not better than other people. But by the same vein, we don't have to apologize or back up from being Pentecostal at all. If people don't like it, they have conferences against it, so what? There's too much going on in the world for me to worry about that. I'm named after my grandfather. He raised me for the first 3 years. His name is Clessy Roland Mills. I'm Roland Joe Phillips. They told him, they said, Grandpa Clessy, we got to take Joey away from you. He was raising me. My mom lived with him. She was mentally ill and dysfunctional, so it was tough. It was really tough. And so they said, Clessy, we got to take Joey away from you because you're old and you'll never see him graduate from high school. When I graduated from high school, my fourth high school, my fourth state, and my fourth year, an old man I hadn't seen in 10 years kicked the door open and said, I'm alive, which I thought was pretty cool. I loved him, Clessy Roland, Roland Joe. It's a great name for an evangelist. Keep the tires rolling. Comedian, let's get him rolling. And I'm sorry to say this in Arkansas, but an Alabama fan, Roll Tide. I mean, it's a good name. I love my grandpa. Well, I remember when I got born again, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I was about 19 years old. I was a freshman, sophomore in college at Southeastern. I transferred down there. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I remember being at my aunt's house, and they got saved about 4 or 5 months after I got saved. And we were holding hands around the kitchen table, and we were praying, and I was speaking in tongues. My grandfather was taking a nap. He was a Nazarene guy from Indiana, and he got so offended at that he kicked the door and walked out, and it hurt my feelings a little bit, But I didn't stop doing what God had given to me because it ain't about my grandpa. I don't have to apologize to my grandpa for being full of the Holy Spirit. Another misconception that the public utterance and private prayer is the same thing. No, there's a gift, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, where there's a public utterance and interpretation. It's not the same thing as the private prayer language that he gives to us when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Another misconception, you got to tarry all night long to receive the Holy Spirit. I believe in tarrying services, and I've been to some of them, just pray through the night. But that's not a requirement to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Another misconception, you got to be mentally ill or weird. I went to the doctor the other day, and the doctor said, Joe, is anybody in your family mentally ill? Does anyone in your family suffer from mental illness? I looked at him and thought about it and said, no, sir, we all enjoy it. If we're mentally ill, it's not because we're Pentecostal. I think people think anything they want to. They think like we're the orangutan and the bear from Jungle Book just walking around saying, zip, bam, 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 zip it a wop, zip it a wop. They just think whatever they want to. I've seen it all. I've seen all kinds. There are excesses in the Pentecostal movement. I read something about someone praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had a buzzer in their hand, and when they touched them, they like a shock collar. I heard with my own ears when I was a youth pastor in Fort Lauderdale, a lady at the end of the row, we were answering phones for the 700 Club, raising money for Speed the Light, and I heard her say to somebody on the phone, now I want you to say Kawasaki. Say it again. Now say Mitsubishi. Now say them together. Now say it a little faster. You got it. There it is. There it is. Just because there are abuses doesn't mean we throw everything out. It's like I'm not going to go to the airport and look at the lady at the ticket counter and say, I ain't getting on that plane because I read that 2 years ago there were two pilots that were drunk in the cockpit. They're not all drunk. Just because somebody does something kind of crazy doesn't mean we throw it all out. The Spirit will possess a person. They have no control of what they're saying, and especially young people think that. I want the Holy Spirit. And they're just waiting on something to take over their life. The Spirit doesn't possess us and make us out of control. He's a gentleman. You know what does possess and make out of control? Alcohol. That's why they call it spirits. And demons do that. Everyone will receive the Holy Spirit in the same way. That's a misconception. I remember I was 18 years old. I wanted the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm bought into this. I've read the book, Holy Ghost for Dummies. I'm ready. I came down. There was my youth pastor, and he was praying for me. The guy beside me, he's 88 years old. His name is Larry Bush, 6'6". When somebody prayed for him, he fell like a tree in the forest. And this guy's praying for me. He prayed for me, and I'm thinking, man, Tic Tac. He needs a Tic Tac or a Cert, Altoid, something. I just wasn't concentrating, and I'm thinking, well, I got to get out of here. But a word came in my mind right then. A word came in my mind, but I didn't say it because I thought I was making it up, or I was repeating something that I heard somebody say. So I just said, well, you know, I guess it's not for me. That's another misconception. You pout. It's not for me. Well, about 9 months later, after a basketball game on a Friday night, I went to a prayer room, had my shorts on, looked like Larry Bird shorts. I'd get arrested for them now. Some bell-bottom sweatpants. My roommate was in the prayer room. I was shocked to see him. I didn't think he could spell Jesus. And there was another guy in the prayer room. And I remember going over to the corner. I was pouting. I said, God, everybody speaks in tongues except for me. What's wrong with me? I'm such a low. I'm just whining. That word that I've had has been in my head for 9 months. Finally, I said, well, I don't know if this is you or what, but I'm going to say this word, Lord. When I said that word, it was like what the scripture says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. It was like the dam broke and a whole prayer language was given to me, and I've been praying in the Holy Ghost about every day of my life since that day. I didn't even get goosebumps. I didn't fall down. It was as natural as drinking a glass of water. It was supernaturally natural. Misconceptions that being filled with the Holy Spirit. Actually, I'm going to go back up. We can speak in tongues and our natural language at the same time. No. When Pastor Joe would lay hands on you in the future, you bring somebody, they want to be full of the Holy Spirit. You praise God out loud, like the Bible says, with the understanding. Paul says, I speak with the understanding and I speak in the Spirit. But as those hands are laid on you, then you will have this word or phrase. And it's like Peter saying to Jesus on the water, if that's you, bid me come. What did Jesus say? Come on. You got to just throw your leg over and speak those words. Another misconception, being filled with the Holy Spirit is the most important thing in the world. No, being registered in the Lamb's Book of Life is the most important thing in the world. That we know that when we're gone, we have a room in heaven. But now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, even though it's not that important, it's pretty close second, because it's about loading up that train with people who are bound to go to heaven. We are people that the Spirit comes upon that we might represent Him to the world. Another misconception. You'll speak in tongues and be perfect. No, some of the meanest people I ever met in my life spoke in tongues. Doesn't make you perfect. You still have the flesh. You got to tamp it down. Somebody in Arkansas gave me a book on the Holy Spirit. I got on a plane and his famous preacher wrote a book on the Holy Spirit. And in the introduction it said, I want you to know before I say a word about the Holy Spirit that I had an extramarital affair. As a Pentecostal preacher, I respected that. I appreciate. He wasn't bragging about it. He said, I'm human. No, it doesn't make you perfect. And that's why we need Him all the more, because we are imperfect people. Another misconception, it's a one-hit wonder. It's a one-hit wonder. Yeah, I spoke in tongues at children's camp, 1951. That was the last time. The Bible uses a verb tense. I think it's the aorist verb tense in Ephesians. Be ye filled and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we read about the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 19, it was 20 years after the day of Pentecost. Another misconception is that things will be smooth forever. No, Paul got filled with the Holy Spirit. He said in Corinthians, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And he had a resume that included being thrown over a wall in a basket, shipwrecks, and beatings. I want to show you a picture, if I could. This is my best friend Lee McBride's house in Alabaster, Alabama. He was in the mountains of Georgia preaching, and he's been in this pulpit too, right, Pastor Joe? He was in the mountains preaching. He didn't have a cell phone signal. He came off the set. He had 20 missed calls from his neighbor. He calls his neighbor, never called him before. Said, hey, what's going on? He said, where are you at? I've been calling. I didn't have a signal. What's the matter? You got to get home, man. There's crime scene tape all over your yard. What happened? My buddy's got a quarter acre lot in Alabaster, Alabama, and a plane crashed in his yard. Next picture. He gets there, and there's this, it cut out all these trees, and there's this white van. And a guy with all these guys walking around the yard with, you know, windbreakers with letters on them, the alphabet police, you know, FBI, NTSB, all that stuff. Guy walks up to him with a clipboard and says, sir, are you the owner of this house? He said, I am. He said, I got to ask you a question. Yes, sir. What's that van doing right there? Now, you can't tell it from this photograph. This white van is behind his house. There's an outbuilding over here. I don't know how Lee McBride got that van by that fence. You know, you talk about doing a three-point turn. He had to do a 36-point turn to get that. I don't know how it even fit. And neither did the guy from the government. He said, why is that van there? And Big Lee said, I ain't trying to get all mystical and magical on you, but I just told, for one solid week, every night I'd go to bed, I felt a tug on my heart. I got to move that van. I can't really explain it, but I knew I couldn't go to Georgia and preach until I moved that van. I just felt this tug. That guy said, sir, this plane comes into your yard. He's run out of gas looking for the high school football field. He can't make it. He clips several trees in your yard, flips upside down. That wing hit that van and put him 18 inches from his head on the ground. That van's the only thing that saved that man's life. We talk about speaking in tongues, and I believe in it. I'm not just a company man. I've experienced it. But sometimes being full of the Holy Spirit is just about a tug on your heart. Talk to the lady in the next aisle that's looking at the shredded wheat. Talk to her. What is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Now, we talked about what it's not. It is the vehicle to get Pastor Joe's Easter sermon to the entire world, to get the gospel to the whole world. And I believe that the initial physical evidence in the baptism in the Holy Spirit is speaking with other tongues. But I will tell you, it cannot be the last evidence. There has to be other evidence that comes into our lives. The church was forged with this power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We read Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 15, these men are not drunk as you suppose. Anybody ever been to the grocery store around here, the Dollar General, or you go to Walmart somewhere and you hear somebody speaking another language like Spanish? Of course you have. I have. We all have. And you hear, hey, ¿dónde está el carne? Yo quiero sal, por favor. Yo quiero la leche. None of us have ever heard that and grabbed our grandkids and said, come here, baby, that's the bad man. That's a bad man. They're on the meth and the heroin. Like, get over here. That's terrible. But how many of you been to the family reunion seeing your uncle that's drunk? Look at you. Put a brick on your head. You're growing like a weed. We've seen drunk people. We've seen people speaking another language. We've never seen anybody speaking another language and think it's evil or something weird, but something happened on that day that people were staggering and speaking, and everyone thought, well, they must be drunk. No, they're not drunk. They are not drunk. Acts, all through Acts, Acts 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, house of Cornelius, the Gentiles. Peter lays his hands on them, and they were filled with the Spirit and spoke with other tongues. One of my favorite scriptures is Acts chapter 19. Paul's on his way on the road to Ephesus. He sees 12 disciples. He says to the disciples, have you disciples received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said the same thing I did in the Chi Alpha meeting. I have not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Yeah, what does that mean? Pastor Keith, Pentecostal, what does that mean? Well, what baptism did you receive? Well, we received John's baptism. Paul said John's baptism is a baptism of repentance. And he laid his hands on the 12 disciples. This is that second work of grace. He laid his hands on those 12 disciples, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. And if you go in a little bit later on in Acts chapter 19, it says everyone in the province of Asia, Jew and Gentile alike, heard the gospel in a space of 2 years. Let me tell you what that means. The province of Asia was a region of the world. It wasn't a city or a territory. It was a region of the world, like modern-day Turkey. Modern-day Turkey is as big as Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, and North and South Carolina. That big of a place heard the gospel in 2 years without an airplane, without an internet, without automobiles, without TV, and without even a written copy of God's word. How can that possibly happen? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, when those 12 men got filled with the Holy Spirit. So he comes upon us so we can reveal Jesus to the world. He comes in us that he will be revealing Jesus to us. So I would say this to people, and this is probably the most controversial thing I'll say all week. Folks that have the laissez-faire attitude, well, good Lord, he knows my address. He wants to fill me. He knows where to find me. I don't care either way. That is absolutely the wrong attitude, because it's not about you. It's about a lost and dying world. That's what this experience is about. What meaneth this? I probably shared this, but in March of 20th, 2007, you can Google it on your own time, ABC News, there was a guy named Dr. Anthony Newberg. He was a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. and he studied people's religious experiences. He had three control groups. He had Franciscan nuns, Buddhist monks, and he had Pentecostals from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He put little doodads on their heads, and he told them to do their thing. He put the little doodads on the Buddhist monk, said, do your thing. And whatever they do, whatever it was, and the frontal lobe just was going crazy. Put the doodads on the Franciscan nuns, and they did whatever they do. He put the doodads on the Pentecostal people from Gettysburg, put on some gospel music, and they start speaking in tongues, and it went flatlined. Dr. Anthony Newberg, he said, what these people from Gettysburg claim is happening to them is that it is not them praying, it is some other entity praying through them, and scientifically the data seems to back that up. Thank you, doctor, but I didn't need your experiment, because I know it's real. I've seen it all over the world. I've been in Brazil in the jungle. 3 days passed where they filmed Survivor Amazon at the resort hotel on a ship, no roads, with ropes at night that monkeys would go back and forth on the ropes that we were moored to the land with. I've seen people row 8 hours in a canoe just to come to church, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues. I've seen them in Moldova in a theater where they're flashing the lights. All these people have given their hearts to Jesus, and I said, they're flashing the lights. These communist people are about to cut this light. If there's another thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I don't have time to explain it. If you want that, come run. And I put my 50 teenagers on both sides, and we started slapping people in the head like a Holy Ghost car wash. And people that had never heard of it began to speak in a language that they had never learned. I know that this is real. So who and what? Now, here's when and where, and it's going to take a minute, less than a minute. When? Here we go. Then and now. When is the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Then, originally at the day of Pentecost, an historical event, now and tomorrow if Jesus tarries. Who, what, when, where? Okay, that's a great question. There, it happened there on that day historically. There, here, all over the world. Columbus, Georgia, Columbus, Mississippi, Manaus, Brazil, Moldova, Concord, North Carolina, everywhere. That's what Jesus said. Now, I'm not prophesying or prognosticating this. I'm using a tough illustration here. Brace yourself. If Pastor Joe got up one day and said, thank you all for being here. I got a very exciting announcement. I can hardly wait. After I preach, if you want to hear it, it's a family meeting. Stick around. Nobody leaves. He preaches. Nobody leaves. What would you do if he said, I'm so excited. Ooh, you guys are going to love this. You're going to love this. Chelsea and I have accepted a position in Honolulu, Hawaii. Now, Chelsea might like it. Sister Chelsea, but if you love him, you're like, well, that's rude. Why would you say that we're going to love that? Because we love you. Jesus said, it's to your advantage, boys, that I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's not just going to work where I'm at, like I can only work where I'm at. When I'm gone, he'll work all over the world at the same time. And I think that's an advantage. Why? Here we go. Why? Multiple reasons. Save the lost. Take the message to the world. That's why it comes upon us. I was driving back to the office from lunch in Atlanta. I served there for a year, and before going into the district office, I saw a woman at a bus stop, and I knew three things about her. I never met her, had no idea what her name was. I knew three facts about her. I was perplexed by that. I thought, man, my enchilada is really working on me. I don't know what's going on. Got to my office about 40 minutes later. My secretary said, Pastor Joe, there's a woman here. She needs to speak to a pastor. They sent her down here, and she doesn't have an appointment. I said, well, send her in. That woman had followed the van. She walked to the church, and my office was so small, you'd had to kind of step over the thing. I said, excuse the smallness, sit down there. Left the door open for Helen, and I said, my secretary, I said, ma'am, Don't say anything. Have I ever met you? She said, have you ever met me? I said, I know these three things about you. One, two, three. Her eyes filled with tears. She said, who told you that? I said, when you were back at the bus stop and we turned left, the Holy Ghost told me that. Do you know why he told me that? Have any idea? She said, no. Because he loves you and he's crazy about you. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That we can take this gospel to the whole wide world. That we can operate. Not that we get these doodads up and down our spine, but that we can share Jesus with the hurting. Number two, to edify yourself. To build up yourself. It's an edification tool that God has given to us. It's like a NASCAR restrictor plate that is taken off and let us run with perseverance. Number three, guides us into the truth. He tells us the truth, and we need the truth. Number four, he helps us to pray. He helps us to pray. Romans says, we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. January 2nd, 2022, I was driving my daughter to Asheville. We had a 93-year-old living with us at the time, been with us 5 years. My other daughter called me and said, Dad, the ambulance is here. I said, oh, no, did Nana break her hip again? What happened to Nana? Dad, it's not Nana, it's Mom, my 61-year-old wife. I said, what's going on? They said she had a heart attack, and they're working on her in the back of the ambulance right now. It's critical. Immediately, I made a U-turn. My daughter's with me. And I didn't know what to do. So for about 25 straight minutes, I prayed in the Holy Spirit out loud. I prayed in tongues. And I can't explain what happened. At about the 25-minute mark, the peace of God that passes all understanding came into the cab of that truck. And I did not know what I would find at that hospital. But I knew whatever I found would be okay. This is a reason to be full of God, because he helps us to pray. He prays through us, and he encourages us. Jude says, pray in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith. And he comforts us. I have a grandson who's 8 years old, and he's an outstanding athlete. I'm going to be that grandpa. Can I be that grandpa for just a second? He's a professional athlete. Last week at the World Championship of Disc Golf, they went up there and a disc golf company fought another disc golf company to sign my grandson to a contract. 8-year-old professional athlete. He's a great football player. He threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, and got a pick six in front of Randy Moss at a tournament not too long ago, about 4 weeks ago. But when he was born, he had meconium in his lungs, and they said he may not live, and he was in that plexiglass box for many, many, many days. My son is a preacher, and he's a disc golf shop owner. He's got them all over the country. And he told his congregation, I'm so proud of him. He's got a very liberal congregation in Charlotte, North Carolina. A lot of our metropolis areas are pretty liberal. And I was so proud of my son. He said, you may not believe this way, but when you're standing at a plexiglass box, not knowing if your son will live or die, English words fail. That's a reason to be full of the Holy Spirit. How? We're landing the plane here. How? What meaneth this? How can I receive the Holy Spirit? Number one, be a Christian. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Michigan, a Native American came up to me. He's a pastor's son-in-law, AG pastor's son-in-law. He said, I know you're going to be praying for the people with the Holy Spirit tonight. He said, but every time I get in a service like that, it brings back my native roots around the campfire and those weird campfires we used to have, and we would chant. I said, well, you don't check your intellect at the door, but you receive the Holy Spirit like you do Jesus, by faith. You just have to believe. And so that night, it was hot, no air conditioning in the tabernacle. It was July. That guy was in short sleeves. He had his hands up like this. His arms were glistening sweat. And I did something I've never done before, and I hope I never do again. I don't even know why I did it. That guy had his eyes closed. I walked up and I took my hand and slapped his forearm because it was sweaty. It was loud. It was so loud that that guy looked at me. His eyes were wide. My eyes were wide. And I said to him, stop analyzing and receive. This guy was 350 pounds. When I did that, he began to speak in tongues and fell right into me. I immediately regretted that. You receive being open to what God has. You ask him. You do not have because you do not ask, James 4:2. And you expect God is no respecter of persons. This is for the sons and daughters yesterday, today, and forever. You expect. And you thank him. Thank him. Say, Lord, thank you. If you need help from the Holy Spirit, but by your feet you're voting that he can come upon you, he's got permission to come upon you, I want you to come down thanking him. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my pastor. Thank you for this church. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank him for everything. And thank you for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Then you just receive. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. For Father's Day, because I was climbing a mountain, my kids gave me this Garmin watch. I think they said it's like $300. I don't know how to work it. I've tried to take it for a test drive, but I can't figure it out. And if I said to one of these guys over here, hey, thanks for coming to church on a Sunday night. I'm not going to do this, so don't get this in your head. If I took my Garmin watch off and gave it to one of those guys, said, come up here, buddy, what's your name? Thanks for being here. And if what would we think if he said, please give me that one. I'm begging you. We'd have to get him medicated. Something would be wrong with that kid. I've seen people receive the Holy Spirit like they're trying to pass a kidney stone. It's a gift. How do you receive a gift? People in Arkansas know how to receive a gift. You say, that's for me? Cool. Thank you. That's how you receive a gift. This gift is for us and for all who are far off, the Bible says. You receive the gift. In conclusion, I'm not trying to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be acceptable to any group of people. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit for Jesus Christ and to take his message around the world. Well, I'm going to close, and we'll skip those pictures for the... Wait till I tell you that those last pictures. Wait till I tell you. There was a guy, I probably shared this before. There's a guy, he's lost in a village. He's lost in a forest looking for a village. He was an Assemblies of God, unnamed missionary, full of the Holy Ghost. He's in 1940, he's looking for a village. He's in a forest. He's lost. And the kids say, why didn't he GPS it? It was 1940. Comes to the edge of the forest, and he says to the first guy he sees, is this such and such a village? And the guy says, no. He's on the complete opposite side of the forest. And the guy had this philosophy, and I think it should be my philosophy. Well, since I'm here, James Longmate called me on the way up the hill to church tonight and said, since you're going to be here Saturday, there are 8 terminal people in my community. Can we pray for them? I said, absolutely. The guy says, well, since I'm here, is there anybody in this village that's sick? And the old boy said, yeah, the guy at the bunkhouse, he's got going through the roof disease. What's going through the roof disease? Rheumatoid arthritis so bad he feels like he's going through the roof. Take me to him. They took him. He said, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and I come to you in his name, full of his spirit. I lay hands on you, be healed. And the guy got instantly healed and saved, and his kids all got saved that night. Those kids raised kids that got saved. And one of the grandkids of the rheumatoid guy became a preacher boy. When he preached, he didn't preach to a church full of people or a theater full of people or a coliseum full of people. Now you can throw that picture up. No, they go to the big crowd. When he preached to 1 million people standing in one place in Africa at a time. His name is Reinhard Bonnke. Show the next picture. Reinhard Bonnke changed a continent, not just a nation. Millions upon millions of people gave their hearts to Jesus. And I wonder if that unnamed evangelist missionary from the Assemblies of God went home and journaled, well, I got lost today. Not much happened. Just prayed with one family. No idea that it was changing a continent. That's a reason to be full of the Holy Spirit. Reinhard Bonnke, the German evangelist, said of that day, he said, that was the day God put the thread through my needle. We get filled with the Holy Ghost. He comes upon us that we can be light. You don't have to be so demonstrative. You don't have to be charismatic and stand on the table. Let him come upon you, and you will have the power that Peter had. They would put people in the street so his shadow would have an effect on them. Your very countenance will make a difference. Stand to your feet, would you? I want to tell you these stories as the musician comes. Now, put that picture back that I told you to skip. Put that picture back. I want to build faith in you. This happened in, this is all the Holy Spirit, by the way, the gifts of the Spirit. There's a gift called healing. There's a gift called miracles. This happened in Florida. The guy in the top left, he had a problem with his ear. God healed him. He's testifying. A girl in the middle had some kind of problem with her arm. I don't know what it was. God healed her. But this is Isaiah. Isaiah was on a airplane from New York to Florida, and his eardrum burst. He couldn't hear, and God healed him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Next photograph. This happened in Arkansas. Pastor Joe might have even been here. So many people were being healed in this testimonial service. After about an hour, I told the guy with the microphone, just count to three and have them point wherever God healed them. This little girl here, she came to camp as an atheist on Monday. On Tuesday, she quit being an atheist. Nobody got to her Wednesday and said God couldn't do what he says he can do. Thursday, she wanted to be healed. She had a condition. Next picture. This is not her leg, but it looked exactly like her leg. It's a condition like fish scales out of water. She couldn't wear shorts. It cracked and it bled, and she was embarrassed all the time. And she said, I want you to heal me. Next photograph. This is her leg. That's my shoe. We watched that thing literally leave her body. Hallelujah. Next photograph. It's a boy in Alabama. This is a video screen grab from Steve Mason and I were together. His name is Matthew Reed. He said, I was legally blind, and I wanted to see. I asked God to heal me, and I put my glasses on, and I couldn't see very good. I thought they must be dirty. I went to the bathroom and washed him. When I looked up into the mirror without my glasses on, I could see perfectly. I put my glasses back on. I couldn't see a thing. He reached out to me a few years ago. He said, I've been looking for you. I found you on social media. Pastor Joe, I was legally blind. I could not do what I really wanted to do. My life goal was to be in the United States military, but because Jesus healed me that night, now I'm a United States soldier. Praise God. God can do what he says he can do. And he does it through and by the power of his Holy Spirit. So I'm going to say a prayer. And if you're like me and you need help, and you're willing for Jesus to baptize you, to come upon you. He is in you to reveal himself to you, but you're willing for him to come upon you that you might be a witness to the whole world. Nobody's going to shake you and do all those kinds of things. We're just going to do what the Bible says. They laid hands on those believers, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Do you need help? Do you need help? Are you willing for him to rest and reside upon you? If you are not clean, so to speak, you don't think you're a worthy vessel. Yeah, you're a believer, but there's sin in your life. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our attorney. So all you have to do right now is say, God, forgive me. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1. Say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. For grieving your Holy Spirit, forgive me. The devil tries to keep us in condemnation. The Lord's gift is conviction. And so we get convicted and we say, forgive me. And what does he do? He forgives us. Now you're a candidate for everything he has for you. So I'm going to pray and put this microphone down on this pulpit. If you need some help, I'd be honored to pray, put my hands on your forehead and pray for you, that God's Holy Spirit will help you, the Comforter will help you, and that he'll come upon you and give you everything you need to be the light in this dark world. God, that's the message. That's the message. It's a little too long, but the people were tremendous. Bless them. And there are people in this room that need your help. I'm at the front of the line. I got ideas and projects. I know I cannot pull them off without your help, God. You got to help me. I need you to come upon me, Holy Ghost. Come upon me that the world could be changed, that people in the province would hear the name of Jesus. Come upon me, God. There are other people in this room. They need help in various ways, discerning issues, challenges with families, business setbacks or challenges, opportunities in the future, anointings for what they're doing in the classroom or wherever. God, when they come, we pray you'd help them and that you'd come upon them in Jesus' name. If you need his help, come on down here, would you? Would you come down here? These altars are open right now.